second, and the Unaware, this wind house, I'm looking in the wrong direction. The Unaware, she was sounding us, and even I was looking in the wrong direction, but the Unaware, Mr. Gowanus will conduct your hearing at this time.
Our guests are for this individual?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll explain the process here in short order, okay? Okay, sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Adam Olkovich. AC number is 142639.
Well, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the four alleged violations listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on May 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. See your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. As you can see on the video conference screen, beginning with the opposite side of the bench, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. The center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the hearing lead. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Now, before we get started, I need to swear you, your supporters, and Mr. Turner in. So, Mr. Prokovich.
Prokovich,
pardon me. I was delayed on the beat. Prokovich, Mr. Prokovich, and I will say, if you can state your names, do you plan on speaking?
My name's Casey Brooks.
1 second, sir.
Casey Brooks.
Say it one more time.
Casey Brooks.
Casey Brooks,
yes.
And are you the only person who's speaking today?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's in this Casey Brooks. And Mr. Turner, do you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm, Mr. Prokovich?
Yes,
sir. Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Prokovich, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind, when we pass from phase one to phase two, there's a separate vote for that, so please do not take that as the end of the hearing. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. So do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir. Also, we'll have something to read to the board, that's okay.
Okay. Just so that you know, we're only in the first phase of the hearing, but there will be an appropriate time at this board for you to give a final statement. Okay, sir?
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, sir. I'll just say right now, if we pass from phase one to phase two, because again, there's a separate vote for that, there'll be a time where you'll be able to give a final statement, and there's also a time where your supporter will be able to speak before the board. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I'll begin the first phase of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by use of marijuana on or about April 10, 2018 for the task lab report dated April 11, 2018. Mr. Prokovich, is this true or false?
False.
Okay. Allegation number two, violation of condition number five, is demonstrated by engagement of threatening behavior on or about April 10, 2018, in MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Prokovich, is this true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Allegation number three, violation of condition number five is demonstrated by your engagement and threatening behavior on or about April 15, 2018 in MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Prokopich, is this true or false?
That is true. Also true, sir.
Thank you. And the final allegation, allegation number four, violation of condition number four is demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about April 16, 2018 as directed on March 27, 2018. Mr. Prokopich, is this true or false?
That is also true, sir.
Thank you. Based on Mr. Prokopich's statement that allegation number one was false, we need to take further background information from our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and then we'll ask a few questions after that. Mr. Prokopich, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, allegation number one. On 3-22-18, the offender was screened, assessed, and accepted into the ITH program located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85027. On 3-27-18, task UA procedures were explained to the offender. He was directed not to use any marijuana while in the ITH program and was understood by the offender. On 4-10-18, the offender submitted a urine sample for drug testing. The offender's sample from 4-10-18 tested positive for THC per task lab report dated on 4-11-18. Follow-up, on 4-11-18, PO Officer McKee called task. They advised that the offender had a new TH use between the dates of 4-5-18 and 4-10-18.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Now again, Mr. Prokopich, the allegation was violation of condition number seven as demonstrated by use of marijuana on or about April 10, 2018. For the task lab report dated April 11, 2018. What is false about this allegation?
I had a medical marijuana car on the street, and as DOC and task both know, THC stores in your body fat and yourself, and upon working out, it is then re-released back into the body. And if you go to all our UAs, while that MRC program, you'll see that I was searching for marijuana each and every time. The level did go down, but then when I started working out heavily, you know, going on morning hikes and whatnot, my level started to rise, you know, a little bit at a time. And I freaked out, and Rachel Austin, my counselor, called me in and was like, you know, what's going on? And I don't know, you know, and so her and Pam McKee and Catherine Nisbet, the head psychologist at MRC, they all got hold of task, and it was explained to them that yes, the levels do rise, you know, upon being re-released back into the system because it is stored in your fat cells.
Okay, I will ask our community corrections officer a quick question before we move through this phase. Mr. Turner, is there any reference in the coroner that he had a medical marijuana card?
Give me just a second. Mr. Prokopich, when did you get your medical marijuana card?
Stacey Brooks would know that better than I would. It was when I first got out of DOC. My PO at the time, Craig, gave me the phone to go get it. We got it at MJ Consultants, and I brought the card to my PO, Craig, and he looked at it, photocopied it, and it was approved by central office. The date it was in January, I know that for sure. I got out January 2nd, and my first UA came up dirty for marijuana, and he
apologize, this takes a little bit. Okay, yes, he got authorization for medical marijuana card on February 14th of 2018.
Okay, I apologize, I'm Jason.
That's okay.
This is what I'm going to do, because I'm not going to get into arguments about the chemical piece. We're just going to move through from phase one to phase two, and we'll be able to speak to the board in more detail. So I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W113 regarding allegation number one, and based on Mr. Prokofiev's admission, as well as information in the warrant and information provided by the Department of Corrections for allegations 2, 3, and 4. I move to find a delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have an avalanche due to criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright. Okay, back to you, Mr. Prokofiev. We're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And as I stated earlier, it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. So, if you'll just remain on the telephone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail to include giving your written statement. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Prokofiev was released from ADC custody on 1-2-2018 and arrested on 4-16-18 by ADC staff on a tech warrant. No new charges. He was returned to custody on 4-16-2018 with a CSD of 927-2018, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2016 dangerous drug violation, 3 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 1998, murder in second degree, 6 years. 2002, promoting prison contraband, 4 years. 2007, promoting prison contraband, 9 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC. He has a current CUIR score of 3-4. STG information, he was validated area in Brotherhood and did debrief. Prior terms of supervision in 2004, TIS release, arrested on felony dangerous drugs for sale and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary significant and lengthy with violence, drugs, physical assault, threat, intimidation, tampering with security by Snowden. Other arrest, 94, burglary first degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 94, burglary first degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 94, possession of narcotics, Arizona juvenile probation. 94, domestic violence, Arizona juvenile probation. 95, offering to sell narcotic drugs, Arizona juvenile detention. 95, offering to sell narcotic drugs, Arizona juvenile detention. 95, offering to sell narcotic drugs, Arizona juvenile detention. 96, possession of marijuana for sale, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GV score of G5B6.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Prokofiev. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. And I said a quick review, but we do have some programming and sanction notes that I need to get through. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections with an approved address at 2535 South Heckler Street, Humboldt, Arizona. On February 13, 2018, you reported residence at 4581 Calle Santa Cruz, Unit A, Prescott Valley. On March 19, 2018, you established residence at MRC, located at 24601 North 29th Avenue. Employment notes, we don't have any, so I'll ask you, were you working when you were on duty supervision?
I just barely got a job working with Stacy Brooks. Her boss is Jerry. I'm reluctant to know the last name right now, sir, but I do collect a paycheck and pay taxes and my parole fees out of that.
Very good. And what are you doing, sir, exactly?
Wake up in the morning, go feed Bob and Angus bulls. Just really work on a ranch. We got 3 horses that we take care of, 7 heads of bulls, and 6 cows, and we just had 3 calves.
that?
Very much so.
Very good. We have some programming notes that you were enrolled in the task for random drug testing, the Colorado. You had a problem with methamphetamine in January and two times in March. You failed to submit urine sample in February and March. You tested positive for THC in January, two times in January, three times in March, four times in April. Then you submitted a diluted urine sample on January 29th, 2018. February 13, 2018, you referred to stage counseling for substance abuse. You attended 13 classes. You failed to attend 8 substance abuse classes with SAGE in February and March. You referred to high level care on March 30th, 2018. You were screened and assessed and accepted an ITH at MIC located in 24601 North 29th Avenue. On April 16th, 2018, you were discharged from ITH due to becoming aggressive with MRC staff twice. Specifically on April 10 and 15, 2018, there was a statement that you tested positive for THC on March 27, 28th, April 4th, April 5th, April 10th, April 11th, and April 16th. I believe that we sort of got into that discussion during phase one. On March 27, 2018, you referred to CMP for substance abuse programming. March 27, 2018, you completed intake for CAP substance abuse. You attended 7 CAP classes, 3 in March, 4 in April. We got some sanctions notes. March 19, 2018, there was a note that in office for staffing for a second positive drug test for methamphetamine, separate from the marijuana issue. You reported that you do not utilize them in seconds, sir. We'll get into it. Federal reports that you do not use methamphetamine, that you only use marijuana, that you buy from a dispensary. You referred to a medical reentry center for 7-day sanction to begin on March 19, 2018, to be completed on March 26. Go to full to ITH screening. You went and signed new conditions of supervision, medical marijuana, including all special conditions of supervision to include MRC. Reported MRC no later than 3 p.m. on March 19. And in the last paragraph of sanction on April 11, 2018, you were staffed by Phil McKee, substance abuse supervisor Catherine Nesbitt, D.W. Barnhart, substance abuse counselor Rachel Uthens, C.O. Willis, and P.M. Wallace. You tested positive for THC on April 10th with, well, there's notations of the level. You advised that you had new THC use between the dates of April 5th, 2018 and April 10th. You violated MRC rules on April 10th by raising your voice towards Officer Kennedy in the chow hall. You were upset that the sanctions program was taking longer to feed than usual and that he could not eat his dinner at the usual time. You demanded to eat earlier when sanctions were feeding. Officer McKee directed you on April 12, 2018 to follow MRC rules and to cease drug use. We directed regarding your behavior. You denied all drug use. You understand that you would be discharged from, or you understood that if you were discharged from MRC program, lost 150 incentive points as would continue an ITH program. So that's pretty much all the background leading up to you being violated, Mr. Prokopic. So, talk to us about where you're at in your rehabilitation, because it sounds like that MRC did not work out well for you.
On the contrary, sir. MRC is the greatest thing I've ever been through in my life. It got me to open up and look at myself, and I wrote something out, if it'd be okay if I read it.
You think it's the appropriate time to share this with us, then why don't you go ahead and do that? Really ask that you be succinct. Sometimes people write things out and it can go on for a while, and so
you know, I got 1.5 pages.
Thank you, sir.
I write big.
Yes, sir. No, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. I have no problem being guilty on most that I'm being accused of when it's presented in the proper form. I thank you for the opportunity to do this. On the streets, I did have a medical marijuana card. THC stores low levels of your body fat cell and tissue, and upon working out, is re-released back into your system. The rate is fluctuated by the amount of workout that you do. I had a chest to get methadone treatment while at MRC, but for me, that's just a legal loophole to ask that if one's fully committed to what the program is truly about. I just keep it real with myself. And before my first trip to the methadone clinic, I graciously bowed out, and it can be confirmed by my counselor, Richard Evans, and DW Caddy at MRC. At no point in time while at MRC did I partake in any of my alcoholic substances. I've had to become a clean and sober. I've had to become a clean and sober man, and any crutch legal or not will help me with that goal. I got released from DOC, a deeply institutionalized individual with a drug habit just as dysfunctional. I failed 2 UAs and didn't even bother to sober too. But never once did I miss a scheduled meeting with my PO or not show up when asked to, mainly because I honestly didn't understand the world in which I was thrown back into, and I was too scared and way too proud to ask anyone for any kind of help. I just knew that sooner or later my PO would send me back to what I understood best. But you see, Craig, my PO from Prescott Valley saw something in me that I failed to see it in myself, and gave me the chance to make not only the toughest, but the greatest choice I've made in over 21 years. And in ever so subtle ways, he told me I messed up, and it's either back to DOC or what he thinks might be good is this MRC program where I can get help for my drug problem rather than place me back in the lion's den. To say I was reluctant is an understatement, but I turned myself into MRC. I was given a 30-day program. No big, I can be at this for 30 days, I thought to myself. 2 weeks into the program, I found the head therapist, Catherine Isbett, and requested to be placed in a 90-day program. Less than 2 minutes later, it was done. MRC began opening mental doors for me and showing me the tools and how to use them. For instance, instead of running towards drugs to mask my insecurities, I was being given the tools to understand my insecurities and how to face and deal with them without the use of drugs. It must be the greatest tool DOC has at its disposal. It got me to begin to face myself and understand and work through issues that I did not wish to. Hence the reason that I'm before all of you today. I would have a shadow of a doubt raise my voice, not in an aggressive nature, but yes, in a very disrespectful manner, towards two correctional officers who were just there doing their jobs. I myself was coming to terms with personal issues that didn't even involve them, and for that I apologize to them both greatly, and they assured me that we were all good and no one held any ill will. I certainly keep my emotions in check, or in a group setting, and I can assure you that will never happen again. The past 37 days in SB 1 in week 3, and here on the yard have given me ample amount of time and solitude to speak about this. As for the condition number 4 that I violated, not by choice, but yes, I did. Cameron Key did feel that this time I was needed, and to be honest, it has given me clarity and now on how I present even the tone of my voice on good days and bad days. You know, I have 127 days until my SED, and I'm humbly asking you all for the chance to allow me to admit myself once again to the MRC program if my PO Craig sees fit, so I may have a chance at collecting the tools for becoming a positive, productive member of society rather than just another statistic of Arizona's recidivism rate. I do have a job in Chino Valley being a rancher. I was told that my boss, Jerry, would be sending a letter. I have a home waiting for me with a woman, Stacy Brooks. I plan on marrying as soon as I get out. And I'll have no issues with me finishing what I was unable to at MRC program. Because when all said and done, I won't be pushed back out into a world that I won't understand, but instead I'll walk into a world of proud and eager to become an outstanding, productive member of society. I thank you all for allowing me this time to voice my side of it. I apologize for being a tad bit long-winded, but this is my life, and despite this time out, I'm truly at the point of change. Just hungry for the tools. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Prokopich. Actually, that was a very well-constructed message, and I appreciate what you wrote. I do have a follow-up question, and I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any questions before we reach out to your supporters in the room. And that is, there seemed to be some sort of relapse of methamphetamine during your time out. So what happened there?
Okay, I work out that was my only piece of mine out there, and I got some supplements. It's before shakes, before your workout shake supplement. And when I got arrested, Willis, Shilter Willis said, MRC, typed it up on the internet, and showed me, look, you get a positive for mess with this stuff, man, you can't be doing that. And when I brought all my shakes and all my supplements into the credit office, I said, look, man, you know, I've been a heroin junkie for 20 years, you know, I smoke weed. You know, in prison, if I killed my time, I don't believe in this, I don't stand for what is, you know, age like that. And even he said, well, you know, something's going really wrong here, because whatever you're doing, you're testing positive for meth, dude. And I was like, wow, you know, I didn't know what to say, because, I mean, my family, everybody knows me. You know, but now I understand why I was testing positive was because of these workout, you know, before workout shakes. And it's just, it blew my mind, but, you know, I'm done taking note of this for sure.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have no questions from fellow board members. Okay, Mr. Prokopich, I'm going to take advantage of this time to ask your supporter if the nice lady would like to approach the podium.
Oh my God.
Huh? And when you get to the podium, if you can state your name in the microphone.
My name is Stacey Brooks, and I'm here on behalf of Adam Prokopich.
And what would you like to show the board today, ma'am?
Well, I was wondering, when I called his PO, our control officer, and asked where to send letters, because our boss, Jerry Fry, is his name, had wrote a letter, you know, stating that Adam was working and still has a job. And there was another friend of our family, Cynthia, who also had sent in a letter stating that she wanted him to do some work for her also. She just started up her own magazine. She's a reporter from the UK. And she also has faxed in a letter. And I'm just kind of wondering, and when I asked his parole officer where to send these letters, he told me that to bring them, to bring them with. And then we went on the website looking for a fax number, so it said that we needed to fax them prior to the hearing. So this was done, so I'm just wondering what happened to those letters, because I know they were faxed.
I don't know what to tell you, ma'am. Certainly I don't want to make excuses on behalf of the board, but all I know is that the letters weren't, unless I'm missing something here from our...
Because, I mean, I was with her when she faxed the letter.
With our package, I certainly accept in good faith that you sent letters, and it's me.
It was only that really the letters wouldn't do any really good that I should just bring them with. I mean, that's honestly what he said. Listening to all you guys' hearings today, I think those letters are very important. You know,
well,
I mean, like, so I'm just kind of wondering.
Just let me say that I can't tell you how the board's going to vote. We don't discuss these cases before we walk into the room. Certainly, the support of the community is meaningful.
No,
this is not to say that I'm sitting before you as one voting board member saying, like, well, I don't have his letter, so I don't think he has any support. If you're saying he has support in the community, then that's still meaningful.
No, I mean, he has tons of support, and that's why we're here today, to support him.
Certainly, we have two people in the room, and that's meaningful. Sometimes that's much more meaningful than the letters, so we do appreciate you appearing before the board. I'm going to ask the board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay,
Mr. Prokopich, boy, I want to say, I'm going to add a P there, it doesn't belong. Mr. Prokopich, we're getting close to the interview hearing. You did read your statement to us, but is there anything else that you would like to show the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that is important for the board to know?
I came to prison as a 20-year-old man, scared to death, and angry at the world. I've had 20 years to work in my, you know, anger issues and whatnot, and I'm still learning as I'm here in front of you. The person I once was ain't the man that I am today, by far no means. I have a life out there on the streets that I want to get back out to and live a normal one, you know. That's
you for appearing for the board today, Mr. Prokopic. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst ourselves on the open meeting laws of Arizona? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is kind of a bit of a challenging case, in as much that I like what I'm hearing from Mr. Prokopic. These are certainly the sort of things that I would hope to hear from someone rehabilitating from their past in the criminal justice and correction system, as well as struggles with drugs. He was open, very open about past struggles with heroin addiction. Medical marijuana is an option in this day and age. I recognize that that was something that existed, although I also recognize that there were rules associated with MRC. I am concerned about some of his behavior. The honor for it, again, I want to give, I want to commend as much good behavior as I can find, that he's had a chance to reflect upon this. But I think it's above table here that he admits that there were behaviors that had come to light in MRC. And I will also state, as I just did, it is meaningful that he has support in this room. I think the question is when you look at the totality of everything, whether or not we can safely return Mr. Prokopic to the community as a suitable candidate for community supervision, specifically him adhering to the conditions of community supervision. I think that's the part that I'm struggling with, and I will open it up to the dialogue of my colleagues. Yes,
Mr. Quinones, thank you. I'm concerned about the behavior at MRC. It's very immature behavior. I understand people get frustrated, but there was no reason for those comments that were made. And I'm also really skeptical about the explanation for the methamphetamine. I'm very skeptical about that. I have some familiarity with drug testing, and I'm not accepting that explanation. So I would not be in favor at this time, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And I didn't make commentary on that, but I am of a like mindset when it comes to TASC and the specifics of chemistry when they take those blood tests. And it's awkward because I don't want to be pointing fingers at people saying, that's not the truth. But what I do know is that the testing is very accurate.
Very accurate.
So that one's tough. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Dr. Wright.
Yes, I do agree. It relates to TASC. TASC has been certified by as one of the best operations of this kind in the nation. It goes through that whole process to be certified each year, and having had an opportunity to go to that program and see how well, it's organized. I feel that TASC is continuing to do a great job, and this was just an unfortunate situation that happened, but some things we just cannot overlook as much as we would like to.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I think I can find the right language right now and simply say that in an impersonal way, in unemotional and a fair way based on the totality of this case, I'm just not finding Mr. Prokopic a super candidate for returning to community supervision, although I will say that he has a relatively short amount of time left of his flat sentence before he can be returned to the community without the oversight of the community corrections. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018 W. 1113, discussion with Mr. Prokopich, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke release supervision, as Mr. Prokopich was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse in the coordinator company. In particular, with references to the violations of his conditions, to include assault of activities, failure to complete his substance of counseling, and any of the issues related to drug intake, and that is my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Prokopich, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about, if I'm correct in the way I wrote this down, September 27th, 2018, which is just about 4 months away. I recognize that this sounds like a very long time, but it is a matter of months, thank God, not years. So we highly encourage you to take advantage of these last months to put together a plan for a safe return to the community. We are happy that you have the support of a partner and people in the community outside, and that you continue to work on the path towards sobriety. It sounds like that you had some issues in your past, and I meant what I said when I commended you for working and working on those issues. So this hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
All right.